You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that now features fully dynamic 3D ray traced shadows. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out. And before we do that, where have you guys been quarantining yourselves this week?
Oh, shoot. I should have thought of this beforehand. Submarine.
Submarine?
No, I said that last time.
I said that last time. No, we said hollowed out volcano last time.
Okay. And then submarine this time.
Yeah. Like underwater base. I like that.
Yeah, C-Lab. Yeah, we're C-Lab. In C-Lab.
We're in C-Lab this time.
Yeah, you can hear my chair squeaking.
Bizarro.
Bizarro!
Oh, God, yep. That joke is for exactly three people.
Yep, that is...
Four people.
Right,
that
yes.
That is some dated references.
Oh, yeah.
I'm declaring Martian law on this show.
Martian law, yes. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some things we've been checking out. You know what? I'll go ahead and go real quick. The first thing I checked out, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think it came up a couple weeks ago, but I watched that documentary series, McMillions.
Oh, yeah, we watched that. Yeah. We talked about it, yeah.
We talked a little bit about it. We didn't get as far into it. I think it came up while we were discussing Tiger King, but I liked it.
It's good.
I think it was a little overproduced, if you want to be honest.
Yeah.
Dramatic reenactments and stuff like that. That was a little much.
Yeah. I think they could have did it in one movie length.
I agree. They kind of stretched it a bit.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be 6 hours long. It was kind of wild to see how things kind of bounced around from one guy accidentally getting a pack of stickers to defrauding the McDonald's for years, and also the Italian mafia. That was pretty wild. Some of the subjects, I really... they are kind of characters. That one woman was a real character, I tell you what. What's her name? Robin? The redhead? She was... Yep. She was kind of a mess.
Like the mob wife lady?
Yeah, the mobster's ex-wife. Yeah, she was a mess. She seems like she could have come out of Tiger King, if we're being honest. Yeah. She seemed like the type of person that would own a tiger.
FBI agent with Special Agent Doug.
Doug Matthews.
He was the best.
He was the best. Yeah, he... Wowzer. He was...
the polar opposite of a FBI agent, really.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like how they said they tried to reach out to his partner and they received a one word response. No. That was pretty great. Yeah, it was just kind of wild to see how things kind of bounced back and forth. How many people got drug into it. I felt bad for that one guy, the Mormon guy. Not the older Mormon guy, the younger Mormon guy. I forget all of their names. I think his name was Charles.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah, there was a younger guy and there was an older one. The older one sold him the ticket on a false pretense. That older guy, I could tell that he was corrupt from the word go. But the younger guy legitimately got screwed, and I felt bad for him. But no, it was overall a really well done documentary. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I didn't know McDonald's farmed out their marketing. I was surprised to... Maybe I don't understand how marketing works, but I always figured they handled all that stuff in-house.
I imagine they probably handle much more of it in-house now, but I mean, it kind of makes sense to me that McDonald's wouldn't just also happen to own a bunch of printing presses somewhere. That kind of makes sense to me that they would be more interested in, would be like the same as they don't make all of their toys in house. They farm that out to different toy manufacturers.
That's
so I imagine it's the same with the games, But no, it was really interesting. I'm glad I sat and watched it. It was 6 hours long. It's on Hulu, but worth your time for sure.
Let's see. Do we have any good ones? We've watched a couple movies, but I forget what they were. Oh, we watched The Invisible Man.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, how is it?
It's very good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
I mean, the basic conceit is what if you were being gaslit by Elon Musk?
Yeah, and this one, it's like he has an invisibility suit, right? It's not like he takes a potion or something, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yep. He's like some sort of optics specialist guy. They don't really go into it a whole lot because they don't really need to.
Mm-hmm. Just a piece of crap.
Yeah. Yeah, like it just opens with his girlfriend escaping their compound because he's an abusive jerk.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then he continues to be an abusive jerk but invisible for the rest of the movie.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It is.
It's like, you're crazy. He's dead.
Yeah, he fakes his death. And then gaslights the poor lady the whole movie.
Oh my gosh.
And it's super intense and like really well done.
No, it sounds awesome. And it's interesting that they took it's interesting that they updated a horror movie to include modern day, like scary modern day topics.
Yeah, it's really topical and they handle it very well. It feels realistic as much as a movie about an invisible man could.
So what you're saying is this is a more successful adaptation of a Universal monster movie than The Mummy starring Tom Cruise?
Yeah, somehow.
Believe it or not.
If you would have told me that like they're updating all the monster movies and The Invisible Man is the good one, I would have been like, you're nuts. But no, that's the way it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's 2020.
Wow. Well, good. I'm glad it's good.
Yeah, that serious recommend on that one. It was really good.
Mm, good. Well, Josh, do you have anything?
Let's see. I watched the entirety of Paradise PD.
Oh, I'm sorry. That had to have been rough.
Okay, I'm completely confused. What is that? I've never heard of this.
Paradise PD is a Netflix animated series that is, I don't know if it was made by the people who did Brickleberry, or they're connected somehow other than voice actors.
It looks a lot like Brickleberry.
Oh man, the second season, there's like a whole two episodes where they go to Brickleberry.
Oh god.
Yeah.
The crossover no one wanted.
Anyway, Paradise PD is an adult animated cartoon that is really gross. And there's a lot of voice actors in it you will recognize.
Okay.
Like, there's an older cop named Hobson, and it's just Master Shake's voice.
Oh! So,
saying really awful things.
Oh, what is his name?
Dana
Snyder. He's always pretty funny.
Yeah, he's pretty great in most things.
I always liked him as the alchemist on Venture Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. I like him as Plastic Man on Batman Brave and the Bold. I always thought that was really good casting.
Let's see here. What else?
Was he on OKKO? He had to have been somebody on OKKO.
Dana Snyder?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm looking. I was in there. I was already in the thing. Oh, crap. He's in Thundercats Roar. Whenever that'll come out.
Been out.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. People don't like it still.
He's Dr. Grayman in
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever listened to his podcast, the Ken PD Snidecast?
I didn't know he had a podcast.
Yeah, he has a podcast, or at least he did a year or two ago when I listened to it for a while. I bounce on and off podcasts, honestly, but he and another comedian, Ken Plume, do a it's just a two-man podcast. They don't really have guests, and it's just them chatting. It's almost like Smodcast, but less talk about phalluses because Kevin Smith isn't on it.
Part of me is like curious about that new Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Yeah,
the other part of me is like, It's not going to be good.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I feel as though I kind of owe it to myself to see that because Jay and Silent Bob, the View Askew Universe movies were kind of a big thing for me in my late teens, early 20s. But also, yeah, there's no way it's going to be good, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm like, what if it is good? No, it's not going to be good.
Who are we kidding? It's going to be not good.
I think about it, and then I think about how I only lasted about 10 minutes into Yoga Hosers, and then I worry.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched a Kevin Smith movie since Red State, so.
I liked Red State. That was good.
I liked the general premise of Tusk. I think that there were quite a few things that, with a different director and a better, punchier script, it could have been much more interesting. But as a general concept, I liked Tusk.
I did legitimately like Tusk. What other? We watched Hustlers. That was a movie we watched.
Oh, is that the one with J-Lo?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was about strippers.
I did not.
You suggested it, and I'm like, you sure?
I thought it was just about ladies stealing money, doing the heist crimes.
I mean, they do.
But no, it's about strippers that, like, drug men in bars and then steal their money.
Oh, so it's the, I don't remember which pop diva did that.
Was it Cardi B?
I think so.
I think it was Cardi B. But I don't know, the way, like, it talks about the financial recession and how, like, all the big Wall Street guys screwed everybody over and then didn't get punished for it at all. And, like, this was their way at getting back at those Wall Street guys. Which is like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. But was it a good movie overall? I mean...
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, good.
I can't believe J-Lo is 50 because she does not look 50 in this movie.
That happens when you're, you know, rich.
Yeah. And what's her name? Constance Wu. She's really good in it, too. And, like, whenever I see her, I think, oh, she's the mom from Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh.
But this kind of destroyed that. mental connection. Which was probably the point, honestly.
Yeah.
There was some news item recently that she said something that made it sound like she was not excited to do another season of that show.
Oh, really?
And that's probably why. She doesn't want to be known as just like Jessica Wong from Fresh Off the Boat forever, because she's more talented than network sitcom.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Especially after this movie. But a good movie if you don't mind a lot of erotic dance. And it does have Cardi B in it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it has Cardi B and it has Lizzo.
Oh, it has. Oh, wow. Star-studded cast.
Yeah. She plays some flute.
Oh, excellent.
Like she's known to do. She's an excellent flautist.
I'll tell you what, I can talk about a movie I watched here real quick. So you guys know I like Star Wars and also bad movies. So in the late 70s, early 80s, after the first Star Wars came out, there were a number of ripoffs of Star Wars, like movies that were very, very thinly veiled takes, like slight twists on the main story of Star Wars. And I found one the other day and watched it. It's a movie called Message from Space. Have you guys heard of that before? Came out in 78.
It sounds really familiar.
Okay. Well, it is kind of a weird mishmash of things. For one, it was a Toei production, but it was produced for both Japan and America. It had a cast, a mixed cast of Japanese and American actors who all spoke their own native language when filming it. And then for whether it's the Japanese dub or the English dub, the actors were dubbed, the actors that weren't speaking like English during or speaking the language during the filming were dubbed over. So it would be easier for the actors and dubbers and everything to do it. It's this weird movie. It was written partially by a guy named Shotaro Ishinomori, who came up with Kamen Rider and Power Rangers and all sorts of other stuff. Like, basically, if you're a children's superhero show in Japan in the 70s and 80s, he had his fingers in it. It was directed by the guy who directed Battle Royale, which is kind of crazy because this is like so far opposite of what the movie Battle Royale is in terms of action and violence and story and things of that nature. And among the cast, it stars an actor named Vic Morrow, who, if you know anything about movie history and the Twilight Zone film, you know what happened to Vic Morrow, and I'm not going to go into it on air because it is kind of a bummer. Also, Sonny Chiba's in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But it is basically Star Wars, but they used a little more of the Seven Samurai, kind of. It's more Seven Samurai in space than Star Wars. Like, Star Wars used it as kind of a building point. This is more of a direct rip. But it does include a pirate ship that flies through space, and that is pretty cool.
Nice.
I mean, that's one of the things I loved about Gokaiger.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, no, the like, the villain is a space samurai that wears all black and has a metal face, you know, like Darth Vader. There is a character named Mia, like Princess Leia. There are multiple Han Solos. There are multiple General Kenobis. There's a couple of robots. So, yeah, it's just kind of an interesting low-budget, kind of like through a kaleidoscope take on Star Wars, and it was definitely worth checking out.
It sounds better than the Ice Pirates.
Much better than the Ice Pirates. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have been checking out this week. So,
or like Jason of Star Command.
Yeah, that one was also not great. Oh, I'm trying to think of what was the one that was done by Roger Corman. It had Hannibal from the A-Team and...
Is it Battle Beyond the Stars?
Battle Beyond the Stars, that's what it is. Yeah. Although that one's pretty good as well, but not quite as good as Message from Space. It's actually, that one's actually kind of a legit film.
It's the Magnificent Seven in space.
Yeah.
Also,
Yeah,
Star Wars was... The Magnificent Seven is just the Americanized version of Seven Samurai, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, for the most part.
So it's a long way around. That's a long way to go around to say, yeah, it's a Star Wars ripoff.
A little bit, yeah. But beyond that, the only other thing I checked out, I've been going back and getting caught up on podcasts, and I recently listened to the 500th episode of My Brother, and Me. And it was fine. It was good. I'll be honest.
I listened to a little bit of it, the beginning.
Yeah, I still enjoy the podcast quite a bit, but I have kind of cooled a little bit on it. Although there's really no reason why. I don't know. Again, when it comes to podcasts, I kind of burn hot and cold a little bit with them sometimes.
But, yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, I still really like it, but I don't put it on nearly as much as I used to. I used to catch every episode as they came out, and now it's like sometimes I'll listen to half of one.
Yeah Like, usually, yeah, now they're not the as soon as they're downloaded, they are when I have time and I'm not doing anything else.
Trying to think of a good video game check them out that I've done recently, but really it's just still been a lot of Final Fantasy VII remake.
How far are you into the remake?
Oh, they just dropped the plate.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Spoilers, but that was in the original game too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh boy, when they kill off the Avalanche members, it hurts so much more in the new game than it did in the old one.
Because you care about the new members.
Yeah. They did such a better job with it than they did in the original.
Well, they gave Jesse even more of a backstory and personality, right?
Yeah, oh, that was sad. It was sad. Even Biggs was sad, even though they didn't do as much with Biggs as they did Jesse and Wedge. But it was just written so much better, and they're given so much more to do.
Sorry about your ass.
Yeah. That may be the best scene in the remake. When Cloud takes Wedge back to his house and he meets up with all his cats, and Cloud's just like, sorry about your ass. The two games together, like playing the original game and then playing the new one, like it's such a good experience to have both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think both of them just flesh out that whole world so well. And that's just, I feel lucky that I've lived to enjoy both versions of the game.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I, again, haven't played it, just been watching Let's Plays because I don't have a PS4, but some things are happening that it's not right. Like it's happened differently in this one than in the original.
Yeah. It's not one-to-one. There's some weirdness about it, and I'm sure we'll figure out what it is towards the end, but yeah, I have when I finish it.
Yeah, this game is big enough that when you get to the end, I would like to have a spoiler-filled discussion out about it, because I kind of have an idea of what's going on, and I want to bounce some ideas off of you for where the future of the series might go. And kind of what you think of the remake in general and things like that. Because I think there's enough there that warrants that kind of discussion.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
And I'm glad it's not one-to-one, too. I think it's more interesting this way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that from what I have seen, and without going into anything, I think the things that are one-to-one are the highlights and the really iconic moments from the original game that you would almost have to. Like that intro with Cloud jumping off the train. Basically the first reactor run. The first, 20 minutes, half hour of this game. Or maybe even the first hour are pretty much the first Mako reactor run. And it's like perfect.
Yeah. And if they just had to make a one-to-one remake, I would feel so bad for the developers.
Oh, sure.
Like, can you imagine having to put that much effort? Because this game, you can tell they put a whole lot of effort into making sure this game was good.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Can you imagine having to put that much effort into just doing the same thing again you already did once before?
Well, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to having a more in-depth discussion on this game, because I really think it really warrants it, for sure.
And I still really like the combat. I like having to take advantage of the different enemy weaknesses to stagger them, and it's really deceptively deep. Like, it doesn't seem deep at first. It seems hack and slashy and like Kingdom Hearts, but there's the whole active time gauge and pausing and using abilities and stuff works so well.
It's almost like Kingdom Hearts done right.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. All right. Well, hey, we are at time, so let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll get into some news. All right. Hey, we're back. That was Crazy Train by Rachel Bloom, featured in the movie Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, not exactly the Aussie version, but I'll take it.
yeah weird that I had to find the radio edit version. So many f-bombs in the original.
Those trolls, you can't keep them under control.
Yeah, right. All right, so hey, why did we play that particular song this week, guys?
There's actually big controversy surrounding the Trolls inadvertently.
Yeah.
Universal said, hey, Trolls has made us so much money by releasing it to streaming instead of theater that maybe we'll start doing both at the same time with our movies in the future.
Mm-hmm.
AMC Theaters responded, well, we're not playing your movies anymore then.
That is kind of a weird knee-jerk reaction, I think. I can kind of see the argument on both sides of this, like Universal wanting to cut out the middleman and wanting to release both, you know, home streaming, video on demand, and in theaters. And I can see AMC being like, hey, this kind of sucks. What about some kind of exclusivity for theaters first? I can see both sides of it, but just flat saying that we're not going to run any Universal films anymore is kind of ridiculous.
That shows you how scared of streaming AMC is, that even the slightest dip your toe in, maybe we'll start doing this, is enough to make Mr. AMC go, whoa, no.
Yeah, it is so weird. Like, I mean, listen, I still love going to the theater. I can't wait to go back to the theaters. I think it's almost like a ritual kind of thing. I think it's kind of it's an event. I like going and seeing movies in a communal kind of space, but I can't deny that having a video on demand, especially if you have a household, like children, like kids movies or family movies, where you have, say, 3, 4, 5 people in your household and you're paying $20, it is a much cheaper and ultimately much more comfortable situation. So yeah. I could see where Universal's coming from, even taking out the cutting out the middleman financial side of things. It just kind of makes sense.
And there's a lot of movies that just like really aren't worth the ritual.
I agree. I mean, listen, if there was like a single person household cost to see Bloodshot, the Vin Diesel film, in my home right now, I would do it, because I don't know if I want to go and spend movie theater prices to see a terrible film. That's not something that I want to see as a ritual. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard to pick a side with this one, because I like going to the movies too. It is a fun ritual and like a, I don't want to say like a rite of passage, because that makes it sound like it's difficult.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, AMC's been having some financial issues anyway, am I right?
Before there was even a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you think this is AMC kind of in their death throes a little bit? I mean, you know, it's not like there's never going to be theaters again. I could see kind of the rise of the privately owned theater, kind of like more Studio 35s and more like the Palace Theater, talking about in Marion County, that sort of thing, as opposed to...
That's more fun anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd much rather all theaters be privately owned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I absolutely... love it. I would prefer going to privately owned ones these days, but something like this, I mean, it's not like theaters are going to disappear, but AMC, man, they are really chopping their nose off to spite their face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, I couldn't imagine like big event movies, like in your Infinity Wars, that's go to the movies material. That would not be the same.
Oh yeah, home. Absolutely. Totally agree.
Like something like The Invisible Man that we just watched, like that was fine to watch at home. I don't think there would be a lot more to get out of going to the theater for it. It might have made it better that you're in your home, because it takes place in home. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think there are certain films that are much better suited for the big screen, and some that are more suited for home release. And I see no problem with, if not day and date, VOD and theater release, you know, giving the theater maybe like a week or two exclusivity. I could see that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a place for both.
Yeah, I agree. And now that the there's no putting the lid back on the bottle with this day and date video streaming, it is something that the film industry has been talking about for a number of years. And yeah,
there have been times when there were movies released on video on demand and theater at the same time.
Right, but it was very few and far in between. But
they were mostly indie movies too.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's kind of funny that it took a giant global pandemic to revolutionize the film industry. But you know, here we are.
That Scooby-Doo origin story movie that Scoob is not even going to theaters now.
Oh sure, yeah, I believe it. Well, I mean, it probably shouldn't have gone to theaters anyway. It did not look super great to begin with.
If I don't know, I think it looks cute. I'd give it a shot.
Listen, there's room for only one Scooby-Doo Origins, and that is the TV series A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. Thank you very much.
God, I hate that cartoon.
That was so great, though.
It's a good cartoon.
With Red Herring?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good joke that I didn't appreciate until it was much, much older.
It has a little bit more snark to it than most, like, baby character shows.
Yeah. What helps that they weren't like baby babies, that they were like 10, 12 year old and not like Muppet babies.
Yeah.
Age.
Hey, Muppet Babies made some good jokes.
Well, there are some good.
It's a good show.
Yeah. There's some good stuff in there. The fact that they were able to put so many clips of different things into it.
But I'm talking more like the Flintstone kids or Tom and Jerry kids or.
Yeah.
Baby Looney Tunes, those are all bad.
Oh, Baby Looney Tunes was the worst.
Yeah, we already had Tiny Toons. Why did we need a Baby Looney Tunes?
Exactly. Tiny Toons was great. Tiny Toons was the first place I had ever heard They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, that was a big thing for They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, that animated music video for Particle Man was so good.
They Might Be Giants was on Live From Here the other day, that show that used to be Prairie Home Companion.
Oh yeah.
And they were really good. They had a guy that was playing trombone and trumpet, like hot swapping between the two during Istanbul.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
Amazing.
Oh, like, that's fantastic.
It's on YouTube. Like, look it up on YouTube. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. No, that sounds really good. Yeah, I saw them in concert a couple years ago and they still rock. I mean, they're still phenomenal.
I'd go see them again. I've seen them a couple times and I've enjoyed it every time.
Oh yeah, yeah, same here. Well shoot, we went that one time, a whole bunch of us.
Yeah.
Good times.
That was that time Amanda told us to turn the wrong way down a Columbus down a Columbus back street.
Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that time we almost died. Yeah. Good times. Real roller coaster of emotion that evening.
Yeah. God, I haven't been to 16-bit in so long. I miss going places.
Remember places, yeah. Guys.
You do remember places, yeah. Well, hey, let's move on to a couple of other things. Let's talk about some a trailer. There's a trailer for a new game, the next in the Assassin's Creed series. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, is that what it's called?
Yes,
Valhalla, yes.
Okay. And Josh, since you are the resident Viking man on this call, why don't you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, so far, all they've released is a trailer, a cinematic trailer for the game, obviously. Mm-hmm. Which, that's one thing Ubisoft has always been really good about, releasing really cool-looking trailers for their games, even though if some of their games are a little meh. Mm. But that's my opinion.
Some of them are the same thing over and over and over again.
Looking at you, Far Cry Primal.
Yeah.
The exact same map as Far Cry 3. Just with no buildings and cave animals.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like Far Cry New Dawn had the same map as Far Cry, the one before it. Oh my god, I forget the name of the one that takes place in Montana.
See? It's that forgettable.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not talking about Far Cry. Tell me about the Assassin's Creed.
I mean, it's got a voiceover from who's somebody who is obviously not a Viking or a Norseman, talking about how they're barbarians and savages and blah, blah, blah. And you see all these kind of peaceful, you know, Viking village, you know, everyone getting ready to go on a ship and everyone saying goodbye. And you see all these children and all this whatnot. But then they go across the sea and they're raiding England, which is very historically accurate because they were all over that area.
Mm.
Didn't really settle. They just kind of, I mean, a little bit, but not much. It's more like just taking stuff. Anyway, this English king, I'm not sure which one it's supposed to be. It's even if they're going to go with a real one. It's Assassin's Creed, who knows? We had George Washington and all kinds of stuff in video games.
Yeah, yeah. But,
get ambushed by English troops, and it's a big epic fight. You know, beheadings, blood, axes, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it looks interesting. I've heard there'll be, you know, kind of RPG elements, kind of like how Assassin's Creed Odyssey had, and kind of build up your character and whatnot.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, and that was in the last one as well, correct?
Yeah, Odyssey was the last one, and the one before that was Origins, I believe.
Right, so it went Egypt, then Greeks,
Greece.
Yep. And now Vikings. So the trailer looked really awesome. And I mean, I know it was just a cinematic and we don't know anything about how the actual game's going to go. I do have one question. Vikings are traditionally not stealthy ninja type folk. And yet this is an Assassin's Creed. How does that work?
I mean, yeah, but also you got to think there is an element of stealth to the way Vikings operated. They snuck into land on their boats that can go through shallow water and, you know, took whole villages unsuspecting.
And then bellowed about their gods. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but also in Odyssey, you didn't even have a hidden blade. You had some spear of Leonidas or something. Like, I can't remember.
Mm.
That was like your assassination tool or whatever.
But yeah.
In the trailer, we see the hidden blade come back.
Oh yeah, the sword that's like hidden in your arm or something like that.
Yeah, yep. the surprise sword.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's gonna run on the For Honor engine.
Hey, I like For Honor. That game's brutal. I don't know. I'll be really interested to see what happens with the game.
Yeah, I've never been an Assassin's Creed guy, but like the past two or three of them have looked really cool, and I've been tempted.
Well,
I think a lot of it is I like the narrative.
Yeah. And the last one, it seemed like it was getting away from semi-realistic situations because didn't like the Minotaur show up or something?
Maybe.
Odyssey, wasn't there like actual like gods and magic stuff where the first couple of Assassin's Creed games, it was like, no, this is a realistic environment that you're sneaking around in?
Well, yeah, the first handful of Assassin's Creed were all set like in, you know, post Christianity, you know, Middle East, Europe.
Right, but I'm saying there's no there were no magic things in the first couple of games, and then
I mean, it's always kind of been hinted there because there's a lot of like powerful artifacts you're looking for. That's like the big thing in the Assassin's Creed is like this war between the assassins, which is from now is turning into a huge mess of what the assassins actually were and the Templars trying to find these artifacts, these powerful magical items.
Mm.
So, I mean, who even knows anymore? I'm honestly a bad person to say because I haven't played an Assassin's Creed game since, I don't even know, forever.
The pirate one?
I had Black Flag, but I don't remember if I actually ever played it. I think it came late in my Xbox life. I remember downloading it for free on my Xbox.
I bounced really hard off the first Assassin's Creed and never went back.
Yeah, the first one's kind of eh.
I just didn't like the controls. They felt weird to me.
Yeah, yeah. But some of the stuff you could do, like blending into the crowds and, you know, sitting and eavesdropping on people's conversations to get your you know, information you needed for your part of your mission or whatever. I mean, that stuff's cool. I don't know.
Well, are you... because of the setting and the way it looks, do you think you'll bounce onto this one? Do you think you'll give this one a shot? Well, did the Vikings bring you back into the Assassin's Creed fold?
I mean, that's what God of War did.
Good point. Good point.
That game was, you know, setting aside was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But also that one kind of broke away from its mold of the God of War series too.
Right.
I mean, it was a little more RPG-ish and it had a bigger world and it was less just linear button mashing.
Which, hearkening back to the beginning of this discussion, that's kind of what you mentioned about the Assassin's Creed. So maybe that's just where games are heading these days. RPG elements, more open world. That's what
I love. I love open games. I feel like I don't care what the game is. If you've got a good narrative or at least an engaging world to play in, I'm probably a good bout to get it, you know?
Yeah.
But will they make you be a dad in this one?
I mean, probably.
Dad Assassin's Creed.
Boy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're post video game daddies.
Yeah, that was that was an interesting time.
It was every game developer became old enough to have a kid, and so every game is about dads for a good 5 years.
Yeah, we are finally past that. Okay, so switching gears from games that have big open worlds and very tight narratives to open world games that really have no narrative whatsoever. Let's talk about Animal Crossing for a minute.
All right.
Yeah. So more specifically, people can do pretty much whatever they'd like in the Animal Crossing. Some folks are modding their towns to have all sorts of new areas. Their creativity is really taking off. That's kind of the point of Animal Crossing.
People have been reshooting music videos within it.
Yeah. I have seen that as well, but
I saw where somebody made a big musical chairs.
Oh yeah, people have been playing musical chairs for money.
Oh yeah, yep. But what I wanted to talk about was one specific guy. His name's Gary Whitta. He is a screenwriter. You guys know more about what he's done in the past than I have.
He used to write for PC Gamer, but he kind of broke into screenwriting. I think with the Book of Eli, I think was his first big movie.
Which was a legitimate movie.
He went on to do Rogue One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably the movie people know the most that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And also an excellent movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, he has a Twitch channel. And he had gotten into Animal Crossing like everyone else during this quarantines. But he decided one morning that he was going to turn a room in his house into a talk show area. And within 72 hours, had created an entire late night talk show set in his Animal Crossing house that he streams on his Twitch channel. And it sounds kind of goofy, except I tuned into one of those the other night and it is near professionally done. And he did have over 10,000 people watching him at one point, which is kind of incredible. And also is getting celebrity guests like Duncan Jones and Felicia Day coming up on a show here in the future. And it's just kind of incredible how people are taking this little game, creative game, and doing amazing, huge things with it. It's kind of awesome.
It's crazy to see Animal Crossing blow up this big, because I've known of it since back in the GameCube days when it came out, and it was always pretty niche.
Oh, but, yeah.
Not anymore.
There was a Nintendo 64 Animal Crossing in Japan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was for the Dex Drive, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It never came to America.
Right, I think it needed the Dex Drive because it had the 24-hour clock on it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, the GameCube version is actually a port, like an upscale of the Nintendo 64 version of the game.
Right. But, yeah, it's just amazing how the show is called Animal Talking with Gary Whitta, and it is... He had a live musical guest the other night, the episode that I watched, It was, he had a stand-up comedian, and like I said, he's getting some, he said in one of his morning streams, because he also streams other things during the day, because he's, you know, he's just a guy. He just sits in his basement and plays video games. But he was talking about how he's had publicists of actual celebrities contact him because they want to be a part of this really weird, to be honest, kind of reminds me of Space Ghost Coast to Coast type of show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Like, and it's, I mean, in actuality, it's basically a podcast.
Yeah.
It's basically a podcast with a visual element. And here's the thing. That idea in itself is so genius. I am mad at myself for not coming up with it.
Why aren't we shooting this in Animal Crossing?
Coming soon, Animal Overload.
Nerd
Crossing. There it is.
Yeah.
Nerd Crossing Animal Overload. I like it.
Now, has he heard from Elijah Wood yet?
No, although it seems as though he is in talks to get Danny Trejo into it, because Danny Trejo recently put on his Twitter that he bought the game and is looking to jump into other people's games.
He wants to jump into other people because he's Machete.
Machete don't text, but he does play Animal Crossing, apparently.
I said Elijah Wood because he
That's
did,
pretty awesome, yeah. Go ahead.
He did show up in somebody else's game. Somebody advertised their price they had for turnips in their game, and they got a DM from Elijah Wood asking if he could come visit their island to sell his turnips.
Yeah, it was a verified Twitter account.
Yeah, it was wild. That's insane to think that. And I mean, I know a lot of celebrities play this game. I know Brie Larson has been kind of going nuts over it. She loves Animal Crossing.
She's a huge Nintendo fan in general.
Yeah, but no, it's just really cool that we live in a world where like the social boundaries between celebrity and regular folk are kind of breaking down a little bit. And in all the places it's Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Right.
Brie Larson got excited when Doug Bowser tweeted at her.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, hey, we have a little bit of time left, so let's do a couple of quick hits. So Mystery Science Theater is going to do some kind of live show this weekend. Is that correct?
Yes. On Sunday, they're going to do a live riff of a new short, and then they're going to riff over top of an existing episode of the show.
Was it like...
they're going to riff over top a season one episode, which if you've ever watched a season one episode, there's plenty of space for them to add more riffs.
Oh, yeah. Because they were all... Because that first season, they were done totally live, right?
Yeah.
They didn't script anything. So there were a lot of gaps. I think it's Rocket Ship 01 or something like that?
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. So that's one of the first episodes that they did in season one. So that's really exciting. It's really cool because they did have to stop their live tour halfway through when all of this hit and kind of had to refund a lot of people's money. So it's kind of cool that they're taking this time to kind of, you know, help break the monotony of of quarantine.
Which it's the touring cast, and they're good. I mean, I saw the show with the touring cast, and they were all very funny. So this will be good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm really excited. That's going to be on their Pluto TV channel. Is that correct?
Yeah, and just the Mystery Science Theater Twitch channel.
Oh, okay. Both of them. All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Which is good. Which is a good way to kill time too. Their Twitch channel is great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Between that and the, Riff Tracks Twitch channel, been kind of bouncing back and forth between that a lot these last couple of days. The other thing here, there's not much news to it, but the Russo brothers, the guys who did the Avengers, Endgame and, Captain America, that sort of thing. They are in talks to produce, not direct, but produce a live-action adaptation of Disney's animated movie, Hercules. So we're getting more of those.
Yeah, well, they were going to get to Hercules eventually.
Yeah.
I feel like there are some Disney films that would probably make good live action ones, like, you know, Mulan, I'm sure will be good.
Mulan looks great.
Yeah.
Aladdin wasn't bad. Especially since they gave, you know, Jasmine more character in that movie.
Something to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for live action Fantasia.
Hey, that's actually, that might not be bad. I mean, like, honestly, like, okay, maybe part of it's going to be bad, but like,
no, they don't show that part anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So what are they going to do with live action Mickey Mouse?
Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't want to think about that.
Digital fur technology.
It looks good in Detective Pikachu and Sonic.
And cats. We watched Cats, actually.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah?
I mean, they definitely made a lot of bad choices. That's for sure. But, like, it was still kind of an enjoyable musical.
You like show tunes.
I kind of do.
Not to out you.
But what did you think specifically of the part at the end when Dame Judi Dench turned to the camera and explained about how cats are not dogs?
That was a weird choice. Especially since they added like that audience insert character. Specifically so the cats didn't have to talk to the audience, but then at the end they just go ahead and talk to the audience.
Yeah. Or how about that scene when Magneto did lick milk out of a bowl and go meow meow meow?
Gandalf, no.
But Mr. Mistopheles was a good song. Rum Tum Tugger was pretty cool.
Stop making excuses for bad movies.
Never.
James Corden was terrible.
James Corden was pretty bad.
Rebel Wilson sucked.
Rebel Wilson did tear her own skin off to reveal other cat skin underneath her cat skin. And then ate a bunch of roaches with human faces.
Yeah. And then there's a song where they keep cutting back to her, like, making funny comments during the song. And it's like, who asked for that?
Like, good job.
Yeah, let him do the song. Like, you're not adding anything.
It is kind of interesting to me that they cast someone to sing in a movie that in the movie, well, God, what was that? Pitch Perfect, where Rebel Wilson is specifically like, I can't sing, don't make me sing. And then they have her sing in this movie because she still can't sing. That was the joke. I don't know.
I was just prepped to have a horrible time, and then I didn't have the worst time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, maybe part of it for me when I saw it was seeing it in theater with a rambunctious crowd. And maybe that added to the sheer, oh no, why?
I mean, I don't like any of the production design choices they made. I don't like how the cats look at all. But it was still enough of a spectacle that I wasn't bored, I guess.
Did you know that Hugh Jackman was offered multiple roles for that film and he turned them down each time because he was like, nah, this is going to be bad.
I like how they got Taylor Swift to come in and sing a song about another character that's not Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and then immediately disappear. Yeah, she was in the movie for maybe 2 minutes. But it was enough for that trailer.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson's rendition of Memories was really, really good.
That was legitimately good. I'll give it that. That was legitimately good. All right, well, hey, I hate to wrap up Cats Cast early, but we've actually hit time. So you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Meow! You can find all of our back episodes at nerdoverload.com, as well as any place you can find podcasts.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at nerdoverload now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, you can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. Still don't know what the number is.
It is 586-372-8020. What should they talk to us about this week?
Who's your favorite cat?
That's what I was going to say. Who's your Jellicle choice?
Perfect. Perfect.
And call, like, leave a message.
Yeah.
We got a call the other day and they didn't leave a message. Yeah. We can't hear what you have to say if you don't say anything.
That's the point of the voicemail line.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. And finally, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help support us and get the show a couple days early, just head over there and check out ways you can help us out. We'd really appreciate it. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Josh, you're the Jellicle choice. Get into the hot air balloon.
No.